Session. Residual macro and micronutrient levels, 5 years of 5 rates of compost in an organic field trial. Erica Fitzsimmons. Erica.
I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for everyone who is staying for my talk today. Without further ado, I guess I'll get started. I'll first start talking about a general description about organic agriculture. Organic agriculture is a low-input alternative production system which seeks to optimize the use of internal inputs, such as compost and other amendments, to reduce the use of production inputs, internal or external production inputs, such as synthetic fertilizers and other amendments. And the aim of organic agriculture is to produce a sustainable and profitable and eco-friendly farming system. Some people wonder why choose organic over another conventional farming system, and reasons are because organic agriculture is less chemically intensive, it is less environmentally harmful to the soil and water resources, it's also considered to have a higher energy efficiency due to the higher diversity in the microbial community, and this also can be enhanced by the compost applications in some organic field trials. Compost application produces or utilizes many things that will improve and soil, plant, and physical characteristics. It provides necessary macro and micronutrients to the soil. It also contributes to the higher biodiversity of the microbes in the mulch soils, which also increases the decomposition of the soils. The past studies have shown increases in soil and plant available phosphorus and potassium levels, as well as soil pH and organic matter. And the effects of compost application will depend on the composition and the rate of the compost applied. Along with these improvements, compost application, the nutrients and physical protection provided by the compost has been shown to increase soil quality. The purpose of this experiment is to study the residual effects of fertilizers, such as compost, on soil macro and micronutrients in an organic system, because this has not been studied well thus far. And by studying these residual effects, we can understand and enhance our success of organic agriculture. The objectives of this experiment are to measure the residual effect of prior compost rates on levels of micro and macronutrients in the organic crop production system. And we hypothesize that the prior compost applications will produce a residual effect on the levels of micro and macronutrients in the system even after 5 years of the most recent compost application. The amount of these bioavailable nutrients will also depend on the rate of compost applied. The site for our experiment is located in Morgantown, West Virginia. It is at the WVU Organic Farm, and this is a 60-acre horticulture farm which centers on organic production. The elevation of this site is between 230 and 500 meters. The mean annual air temperature is between 2 and 13 degrees Celsius. This is a picture of the site in fallow in 2010 before we sampled. And our experimental design consists of one factor, and this is a randomized factorial design. Our factor is compost application rate, and there are 5 rates, which are 0, 9, 18, 36, and 72 tons per hectare. Our 0 rate is considered our control for this experiment. The residual fertility levels are replicated 8 times with a total of 40 plots, and each of these plots measures 3.2 by 4 meters. The management of this site was conducted by Dr. Lewis McDonald, and I would like to focus the attention of this figure to the compost application rate, which up until 2003, compost was applied continually, and then again in 2005. After 2005, no compost was applied, so therefore, from 2006 on, any change in the nutrient concentrations are due to the compost application from 2005. This is a picture of the plots after tillage. The measurements of the soil macro and micronutrients occurred in 2010. We obtained 5 composite samples per plot and for 3 depths from 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 10 centimeters, and 10 to 20 centimeters. We measured levels of phosphorus, potassium, calcium, magnesium, zinc, boron, copper, and manganese via the MELIC-3 extraction. We've also measured soil organic carbon and nitrogen and soil pH. This is the method that we use for the stratified cores and the cutting of the three depths of the soil sample. Our data analysis consists of a one-way ANOVA and Pearson correlation coefficients. This first chart shows the composition of the compost in terms of phosphorus content, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium contents. As you can see here, the rates or the amount in kilograms per hectare is shown for each of the compost rates. Changes in soil pH have been observed from 2007, where the initial pHs were taken, to 2010. The initials were, in 2010, the plots were limed with calcium hydroxide and to bring the pHs to a universal 7.4 pH. And in 2010, when we sampled again, there were residual effects on the pH in the soil. And as you can see from our control, the pH was decreased to 4.8, and as you increase the compost application, the pH has been increased as well. The next three charts that I will show you will explain the percentages of the macro and micronutrients discussed earlier, as well as the organic matter content in each treatment. And these are all for the depths of 0 to 5 centimeters. As you can see in this figure, compared with our control, there have been increases in organic matter, N, P, and K. And these are the differences between these values are most significant in the compost applications of 36 and 72 tons per hectare. The calcium and magnesium and zinc concentrations also are increasing with increasing compost application. And you can see more significant differences through zinc as the compost application is increased as well. The most significant difference, or the most significance, is also seen at the treatment level of 72 tons per hectare. Boron and copper also have shown increases in relation to the treatment treatment of the compost. These are also showing significant differences between the higher compost applications and the lower ones. Manganese is the only micronutrient that we've seen that did not have significance or a correlation to the treatment concentration, which suggests that manganese was already in the soil and it was not contained in the compost, so it did not really, the compost application did not affect the manganese content in the soil. This chart shows the cumulative amount of phosphorus and potassium added to the soil after 5 years of the compost rate. As you can see here, and it also shows the rates that we have observed in 2010. As you can see, there's a very small percentage left in the soil, about between 2 to 5% in most cases. So this suggests that and also, as we increase the treatment level, it seems that more of the elements were conserved in terms of how much compost was applied. This figure shows the stratification of organic matter in terms of depth, and it's from 0 to 5, which is the blue line, 5 to 10, which is the orange line, and the green line is designated to the 10 to 20 centimeter depth. As you can see here, the 0 to 5 centimeter has the most organic matter content, and the differences perceived in this are statistically significant in the 72 and 36 tons per hectare treatment applications. The 5 to 10 centimeter depth also showed significant increases in relation to the compost application. The interesting thing about this figure is the lowest soil depth, which is 10 to 20 centimeters, did not show increase in organic matter after 18 tons of compost was applied, which suggests that there was not a significant effect of the compost on the organic matter at this level. This graph, along with the next two, will all compare the total amount of phosphorus contained in the compost applied in the 5 years versus three of the macronutrients. The first one, I'm comparing the total phosphorus content in the compost to the soil phosphorus that we've, the measurement of soil phosphorus in the 0 to 5 centimeter depth. As you can see here, there is a positive correlation between the amount of phosphorus applied in 5 years to the amount of phosphorus that we have measured in 2010. There is a 97% of, well, there's 97% of the variability in the soil phosphorus can be explained by the prior compost phosphorus content. As likewise with soil calcium also has a correlation with compost phosphorus from the 5 years of application, and 94% of the variability in the calcium in relation to the compost application can be explained by the phosphorus from the compost applications. And soil potassium as well, although it is not the strong of a correlation as the other two nutrients, also has a positive correlation with the amount of phosphorus that was applied 5 years prior to sampling this elements. So I would like to conclude that the residual compost applications that we have established in this experiment have had an effect on the bioavailable nutrients in the soil. And the objectives that I have discussed were fulfilled by testing the soil quality indicators as described earlier. And these results were compared to initial results such as the pH, organic matter, and other macronutrient contents, and after the last compost application as well. And statistically, the differences between some of the means of the soil quality indicators that we have chosen can be explained by the residual compost application that we have applied. And right now I can take any questions that anybody will have. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, so do you have a sense of where, what pathway, just the back perspective. So in your highest treatment, you started out by applying 1,600 kilos of phosphorus.
I believe that was the cumulative for the 5 years. That was for all 5 years, yes. Yes.
And then, so do you have a sense of, that by the end of that, after, say, 10 years or so, left?
Actually, we... At this point, we actually we're determining whether how the, I guess, the, or in terms of the compost, a certain amount was applied of certain nutrients, and then we are left with a certain amount, with a lesser amount. And your question is to determine where this amount was going, whether it was leached, or is that your question? Where the nutrients, I guess, is going?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
So I'm just curious whether that's one of the things that you looked at is, you know, is it accounted for in terms of how much would have been taken up by plants and phosphorus?
Well, at the point of our experiment, whenever we sampled, we did not have any planting taken care of, but at this time, this site is actually a site of another experiment with biofuel crops, and we are actually in the process of harvesting those right now. We're actually going to take plant samples of those, which may lead to explaining where the amount of these elements or these nutrients have gone. But at this point, we have not really examined that so far.
Additional questions? Okay, that concludes this.